Today we want to think about the practical value of the rapture. We've been talking about we're living in perilous days and that we're looking for the coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 describe the rapture of the church. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or believers that have already died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is the believer's blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. But what kind of effect, if we are really looking for the coming of Christ, what kind of effect should this have upon our lives? How should we be living? Well, first of all, looking for Christ's coming should compel the believer to be actively serving God and seeking to win people to Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, if we're really looking for Christ to come, then that should have great incentive in how we serve the Lord. I think of something that Jesus said back in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, where it says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy or do my work till I come. Now, some of them were obedient and they received a reward, but some of them probably were not obedient. So, looking for Christ's return, his coming, should be a real incentive for us to be obedient and fervently serve him. And then also looking for his coming should be a real incentive for us to be seeking to win people to Christ. Evangelism. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we read, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Now this is talking about those in full-time service, whether it's a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, or whatever. But still, it ought to be an encouragement to us and a challenge to us to be busy doing God's work and fervently serving him. Now, secondly, looking for Christ's coming is a great incentive for us to walk close with the Lord, to walk in close fellowship with the Lord. In Jude verse 14, we read, and Enoch, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And so Enoch prophesied of the coming of the Lord. And then Genesis chapter 5 verse 22 tells us that Enoch walked with God. So even though he prophesied of the Lord's coming, it says that he walked with the Lord. He faithfully walked close to the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read, and now, little children, it doesn't mean little kids, it means God's dear children, his believers. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, he wants us to live a pure life, one that is separated from sin. And he wants us to be living in such a way that when he comes, we will not be ashamed because of how we've been living or what we've been doing. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we read, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then notice verse 3, and every man or person that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, he lives a separated life. He isn't living in sin or involved in sinful things. He is walking close to the Lord. And then thirdly, looking for Christ's coming will cause us to separate ourselves from the world. In other words, we won't be a worldly-minded person. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, we read, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though we're living on this earth right now, we are citizens of heaven. And so we should be looking and thinking about him, not real involved in the things of this world. Again, back to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, we read, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yes, God wants us to live close to him, and not to be focused on the things of this world, even though they are part of our life. We need to be thinking about God and doing all that we can to live for Him, not live a worldly life, but to live a spiritual life and be serving Him. When a young lady, a bride-to-be, is going to soon be married, when she's going with the man that she's going to marry, she separates herself from all other men, and she makes preparation for the coming wedding. She isn't taken up with things that are irrelevant to him. She is concerned and longs for the wedding day. To her, marriage means new joy, new happiness, fulfillment of love, and the beginning of a beautiful union and fellowship. Now, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're part of the bride of Christ. And should our desires toward Christ be any different concerning our bridegroom, who is Christ? Will we be indifferent of His desires and His wishes? Will we be setting our affection on the things of this world or on the things of God? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, we read, Colossians 3:2, set your affection or your loyalty on things above, not on things of this world, not on the things of this earth. And so we're to be a spiritual-minded people, not a worldly-minded person. And then lastly, fourthly, looking for the coming of Christ should compel us to study the Word of God, to be immersed in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, the Bible is God's love letter to us, and we should love God's Word, and we should spend much time studying or reading and studying the Word of God. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, we should be spending much time in the Word of God. We shouldn't let other things distract us from spending time in God's Word. So, as we come to a close, Christ is coming, and we believe that His coming is close. We don't know the day. Nobody knows the date. But it's close because we're living in very perilous days, and all the signs that the Bible told us of are taking place or have taken place. So Christ is coming, and we believe soon. And if we're looking for the coming of Christ, we'll be faithfully serving Him. We will live in faith, in close fellowship with Him. We will not live a worldly life, but we will live a spiritual life. And we will immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And if we do these things, and if this is part of our life, then we will not be ashamed when the rapture takes place and we stand before Christ. we will be able to stand before Him with boldness and be ever so grateful for Him and what He's done for us, and for the privilege of being able to see Him face to face. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You for Your great love for us. Thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Thank You for Your great grace and Your mercy. And Lord, thank You for the wonderful, blessed hope that Jesus is coming back again, and one of these days, and we don't know when, but one of these days we're going to hear the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God blow, and we're going to be caught up and we're going to meet Christ in the air. Lord, thank You for this hope that we have. And I pray that we might live lives, spiritual lives, so that when we stand before Him, we will not be ashamed of how we've lived, but we will be so thankful for the privilege of having lived for Him and served Him. And Lord, we just pray that His return might even be yet today, that we will get to see Him face to face. Help us to live in a Christ-pleasing manner. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.